Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The American Culture and Faith Institute released a worldview measurement project, and the results are startling, and frankly, they should motivate you to action. Our special guest is George Barna, who is the founder of the Barna Group. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. George, thank you for joining Faith and Freedom, and this survey is startling. We've gone through the biblical belief score. We've gone through the biblical behavior score, whether your belief actually results in behavior. Something startling we found in this survey that you released is that the behavior slightly is better than people's belief, which on the one hand may be a little positive sign, but on the other hand means that they don't have any grounding and their behavior could change by media and other circumstances and relationships. And then we ended by the integrated disciple score, talking about integrating your belief with your biblical behavior. And what you found there was only 10% of those surveyed had a strong biblical belief and behavior to match that biblical belief.
And in fact, when you look at the bottom end of that scale in terms of being an integrated disciple, meaning that you figured out how to blend your beliefs and behavior into something that's consistent with God's word, what we find is a majority of Americans are well below average. 54% would be in that below average or minimal category. And so certainly we've got a lot of ground to make up.
Yeah, you've got 43% that are below average in behavior and belief, and 11% that are minimal behavior and belief. So you add those together, you got 54%, over 50%, almost 55% of the people surveyed are below average. And these are questions, these are 40 questions, 20 in belief, 20 in behavior, that are basic. These are not high theological questions. So the question, George, is with this information that we have here, and you've got lots more information that's available, and I encourage people to go to culturefaith.com for this and other incredibly helpful. It's not always positive. It's just showing the reality. But it's helpful to know where we are, know where our benchmark is. Where do we go from here? How do we change this?
Well, I think there are a few things we have to keep in mind. Number one is we have to be strategic about this. So we've got to try to figure out where are we going to have the biggest impact if we want to turn this around. And in that sense, I would go back to the notion that our worldview develops primarily when we're young, you know, 18 months to 13 years of age. So we ought to be putting most of our resources into children because that's who's actually forming their worldview during that period of time. If we put most of our resources in trying to work with adults, it takes at least twice as much in the way of resources because we've got to not only build a biblical worldview, but before we can do that, we have to undo the worldview that they're clinging to right now that helps them to make sense of the world around them. It may not be accurate, but it's what they lean on. It's what they trust. It's what they use every moment of every day. And so to take that away is a very, very difficult process. Usually doesn't work. So we're going to have our greatest impact with children. A second thing, if we're going to be strategic, is to recognize that we didn't get in our current situation where 9 out of 10 Americans do not have a biblical worldview. We didn't get there overnight. And so we're not going to turn this around overnight. We've seen this happening over the last 50-plus years, and it's continuing to move in a direction away from God's word and God's principles and God's admonitions to us. And so if it took us over a half a century to get here, it's probably going to take us close to half a century to recover from this. So we've got to be committed to at least a 2-generation process here to see this turn around where we're really investing heavily in trying to prepare our children. But a third thing that I'll point out also is that while we normally would say, okay, parents have to take the lead on this, and that would be a great strategy, but you've got to remember that you can't give what you don't have. Now, if we look at the data generationally, what we find is among the older generations, those who are 15 older, 16% cumulatively have a biblical worldview. The baby busters, those who are in their 30s and 40s, only 7% of them have a biblical worldview. But our primary parenting generation are now the millennials, those who are in their teens and their 20s, and only 4% of them have a biblical worldview. That means 24 out of every 25 millennials do not have a biblical worldview. They're the primary parenting generation. So it means that the rest of us, the 10% who have a biblical worldview, have to see America as a mission field where we are willing to be very active and energetic and passionate about getting out there and bringing about change in this very critical dimension.
And you have been sounding this theme for quite some time. I remember your book, Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions, basically says essentially the same thing in a different way, that churches, for example, that focus all of their ministry on adults and then have the little babysitting type of program for kids really are missing the point. Obviously, we have to have programs and facilities for adults, but it's really that young generation that's important. And it's not just having them entertained. It's not just having them occupied while mom and dad and other older siblings are in some other part of the building, but it's giving them biblical worldview. Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions was very critical. I think what you said in there was something that Child Evangelism Fellowship has known through experience. This critical age is up to 12, 13 years of age. That's the critical age for those who end up, if you were to survey them, accepting Jesus. Most of them have made that decision before the conclusion of their 13th year of life. And that's why we need to focus on the youth. And what your results of this study show is exactly that same thing. We need to focus on the youth. And it's going to take a little while to turn this around. So while we need short-term strategies to advance our Judeo-Christian values, we need a long-term educational strategy to change the future direction of this country and our generation.
Yeah, and I'd add to that as parents, we have to be so sensitive to the media to which our children are being exposed, because we know that the media actually has, at this point in time, the greatest impact on the minds and hearts of young people. And so we've got to, you know, monitor what they're watching. We've got to mediate it, meaning that we've got to talk through the different principles that are being taught to our kids by our children. And we may even want to minimize the amount of mass media that our children are being exposed to. There are other kinds of things that are better for their mind and heart than simply being plunked in front of a TV or letting them listen to contemporary music without some kind of a filter. That, and then the government laws, we also know, help people to figure out what are the boundaries of what's right and wrong. We have this crazy notion in our culture, oh, you can't legislate morality. Excuse me, that's all the law is.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling us right and wrong, and that's what morality is. And so what we do in Washington, D.C., what we do in our state capitals, what we do in the mayor's office, all of these things matter greatly, because they give us additional clues that we bump up against every day that tells us what's right or what's wrong.
When I was dean and professor of law at Liberty University School of Law, I taught our students and still teach young people that law is merely morality in print. Law is going to have some kind of moral or amoral basis or manifestation. And that's what law is. It's an expression of our morality or an expression of our immorality. Well, this is a amazing survey. I encourage people to take more time to look at it. I encourage them to read it. You can go to culturefaith.com for this and other information from the American Culture and Faith Institute, our special guest, George Barna, the founder of the Barna Group. And I would encourage you to go to the website, culturefaith.com, and the other websites regarding the Barna Group. It has amazing information of surveys that give us the baseline. Basically, George, what you have done is give us a wake-up call and a challenge to focus our attention on this young generation, parents and pastors and teachers and leaders, to make sure that this young generation, we're invested in them, and we're invested in them to create a biblical worldview. Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.